Hey everyone, I'm Brent Lambert, guest editor for Escape Pod's Black Future Month special event, and I'm hyped to read your science fiction stories. Submissions are open through the end of March. Find all the details at escapepod.org. Looking forward to seeing your submissions.
Welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and coming March 19th, Vertical Entertainment has a new, I'm going to say anthology series called Phobias coming out. It's a collection of little short sort of suspense horror tales about different phobias. And with me today is writer-director Jess Varley, who has the pleasure of having written and directed a telephobia segment. And if I'm reading this correctly, you also did the Outpost 37 interstitials?
I did.
Awesome. Awesome. Welcome, Jess. I have much
to ask you.
Woo-hoo.
I'm excited. Thank you so much for Summer. I'm so excited. This is going to be a blast.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, this is, if I'm reading correctly, this is your feature directorial debut.
It sure is.
Okay, first, tell us about your journey into directing horror and horror-adjacent entertainment for us.
Well, I mean, throughout the years, have fallen deeper and deeper in love with the genre for so many reasons. You know, obviously also the ability to have the genre serve as allegory. You know, I grew up on the Twilight Zone, and you know, I love, you know, using genre to talk about social issues and personal issues and things that, you know, we can all relate to. And before I did Phobias, I did do a short film that was a horror short, and that was my first time really directing behind the camera fully, and obviously wrote that as well and put that all together, and that was the first time that I really was like, oh, this is, and I'd been working in the industry since I was a teenager, so I you know, worked in different facets, but it was really the first time that I felt like, oh, this is really where I belong. Like, I absolutely love directing, and I love genre so much, and it started with Eric Fleischman, who's the producer at Defiant, who we did the film with, along with Radio Silence, who did Ready or Not and Scream, that's coming up, and all the VHS movies. Them really encouraging female filmmakers behind the camera, and I owe it to their encouragement, because I genuinely have never looked back, and I've written, even since filming, obviously have written many more films, and slating up to hopefully film one this summer as well. So I'm very grateful to have found, you know, especially with directing, like the job that really feels sort of connected to my purpose. You know, I absolutely love collaborating with so many different kinds of talented people, all who as a team make these movies happen. So yeah, I love the collaborative aspect of filmmaking. And obviously writing is much more solitary and very necessary and great, but I really feel like, directing is just, I don't know, it ignites all of my senses and just delights me to get to work with so many talented people.
Isn't it funny how we turn to horror as the genre, the go-to genre, when we have issues to work through?
Yeah, for real. and also, like, thinking about women in horror, you know, obviously there's a great need for more women in the space. And sometimes I joke, like, you know, as women, like, oh, we got a lot of horror stories to share, let me tell you. So I feel like certainly a need for female voices in the space because, I mean, obviously everyone deals with their own horrors and their own lives in different ways. But, you know, as a woman, obviously there's a whole set that we bring that, you know, people might not know about as much, too, because there is less representation in the space, you know, and such an opportunity for more voices, you know, because everyone's going to bring a unique perspective to the genre.
Well, I'm hoping we get to hear more of those stories from you. But first, tell us about your part in Phobias. Now, for everyone listening, Phobias is a collective endeavor. Five different stories, five different phobias, all connected by, shall we say, a really nut job crazy scientist. And Jess, you got to direct all of the Outpost 37 mini segments plus the final phobia segment, Atelophobia, which for everyone out there is the fear of imperfection, the fear of not being good enough or doing something perfect enough. And that was creepy, let me tell you. But how did you approach, or did you approach differently doing the Outpost 37 segments with your own segment, Atelophobia?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Yeah, I think, you know, with the through line and with Outpost 37, you know, the intention per Radio Silence's advice was to really make sure that this movie felt cohesive and that it wasn't just a series of short films, that there was truly a story going on, and that they all connected in some way. So my main focus and the through line was to really tie everything together, to bring all of these different characters all into the same world, and then give us a jumping off point to justify our exploration into these phobias so that they all felt connected and justified. And then with Atelophobia, that was very much, you know, we had all of the filmmakers choose phobias that felt most real to them, that spoke to them genuinely and personally the most. And then from there, you know, we helped to curate and choose our top five that everyone ended up doing. And mine was Atelophobia, fear of imperfection. And, you know, I'm so happy that I got to explore that through this medium. And again, certainly not a, you know, not a uniquely female anxiety, you know, things like not feeling like enough, feeling like you have to overachieve in order to, you know, to not be discarded, or, you know, even struggling things for me personally, like body dysmorphia in the past, you know, struggling with an eating disorder, things that felt extremely personal and not like things that I would necessarily ever be sharing with anybody else. And to explore those kind of dark corners of myself where I was struggling, and, you know, in hopes, this is sort of my, like, my version of turning the body positivity movement on its head, is sort of like, how can we examine this through the lens of horror, you know? But my hope is that, you know, by sharing the segment that, you know, if, you know, both men and women, you know, I'm sure can relate to the concepts in the segment, you know, in a multitude of ways. And I feel like, you know, again, my hope is to help people feel less alone in, you know, what might be perceived as those insecurities, and obviously, you know, embrace your uniqueness. Your imperfection is what makes you you. It's what makes you special. Like, you know, these are things that I've worked on myself over the years, you know, just in terms of my own growth, and doing Atelophobia really helped me face that part of myself that needed healing, I think. And Macy was so gracious, you know, in her willingness to explore that journey with me. And she really, you know, brought it to life in a way that was so beyond, you know, what I ever could have done on my own, obviously.
She went places I was not expecting that to go. And bravo to both of you.
Thank you. Yeah, bravo to Macy. Yeah, she really, I'm very grateful because she really did an incredible job, and I'm just thrilled for people to get to see her in a way that we've just really never seen her before. and just, you know, being excited by that. And again, having conversations about, you know, what it's like to struggle with some of these phobias and anxieties, you know, in our own lives. And the fact that so many of these are so relatable, you know, it may not look the same for everybody, but, you know, the core concept, the core fears, you know, being quite universal, I think.
Yeah, I think that perfectionism fear, and also its insidious cousin, imposter syndrome, go hand in hand.
Yes.
with a lot of people.
Absolutely.
In the creative side of the industry, the writers, directors, yes, artists, everybody has that one moment of,
yeah,
self-doubt, and it can hang on to you for a long time.
Absolutely. No, it's very, very true. It is.
So did you
definitely relate?
Oh yeah, totally relatable. But did you get to work with the other directors when putting together the Outpost 37 segments, or were you just separate from them, other than input on their characters?
That's a great question. It was definitely a collaboration on the through line. You know, both Radio Silence and also with Camila Bell, because she had done an anthology in the past where there were like five directors on set directing at one time.
Wow.
And it sounds like it was a bit overwhelming as an actor, which totally makes sense. And because we weren't quite sure how we wanted to do that initially, and then talking to Radio Silence and of the five directors, because, you know, I'd originally come up with this concept with Radio Silence, and, you know, I'm also producer on the movie. So kind of like became like, okay, we gotta have one mouthpiece for this, mostly for this, for the sanity of the actors. That was really our main reason, just so that it wouldn't feel disorganized or like, you know, there were too many cooks in the kitchen.
Right.
But it's certainly, you know, I really wanted to make sure, obviously, that, you know, all of the characters, these characters were all truly established, you know, obviously by the segment directors, by, you know, in each phobia. And then the through line was just an extension of that. So all of the character development, who these people are, was created by each segment where they're featured. And then we brought those characters into the through line, again, had already been established by the other directors. And a lot of them too were like, when we were doing the through line, we're on set checking in, and, you know, everyone, and vice versa, like on people's segments, people would come by, like we're all always, you know, all in supporting each other, and like, you know, very, very collaborative, very supportive, amazing group of talented filmmakers and friends, who were just, you know, all rooting for each other the whole way through. So yeah, I would say the characters were definitely, and we obviously came up with the through line all together as well. But yeah, I ended up becoming the director of it more than anything, just to be a mouthpiece, because like I said, Radio Silence and everybody was saying that it just might be too overwhelming to have five people on set trying to direct at the same time, which I think totally makes sense. Glad we didn't try it.
Awesome. Now, you mentioned that you were one of the producers. Were you involved in the post-production in putting together the story from end to end?
Yes, definitely. This is my passion, baby. this movie's everything to me. I'm so excited. But yeah, through the whole process, I mean, you know, everybody had their time, of course, to work on their segment. But as with all the movies that like Defiant does and the production companies, the producers will always come in and then kind of like make, not without the directors, always with the directors. We're not like a company that like, defines on a company that would like take footage away from a director and ever like basically we treat it like everybody, not that the directors don't have final cut per se, but it's always a collaboration. It's always a conversation and everybody's always present talking through everything together, which I love. So everybody's always in the loop. So all of the directors did their segments on their own, and then me, Eric Fleischman, the other producers will come in to help polish, help make sure the pacing felt right and that everything was cohesive and the transitions felt good. And, you know, all of the connective tissue more than anything, like obviously refining the segments themselves, you know, and as you know, when you're doing that too, you're always like, you're hyper focusing on like the tiniest little things too, yeah. that like nobody would ever even notice. But yeah, that through, same with the score, like we all had a reference point, you know, and again, we had one composer, one editor, one colorist to, again, make the film feel as cohesive as possible. So I think that really helps. Like, again, the producers will always kind of come in to polish and clean and make sure, again, that the connective tissue is there. But each segment is truly a work of each director for sure.
Was there a discussion of what order to put the segments in? Like, was there a different order at any time before the final order that we have?
That's a really interesting question. Actually, yes. The movie as written opens with the van heading to the outpost and Johnny arriving and not knowing where he is. And then when we were in post, you know, and again, a big note from Radio Silence had always been like, don't make it feel like a movie. Like, don't make it feel like a collection of disjointed short films. So we always wanted to have, you know, as strong a narrative tying them together as possible. And we ended up putting Johnny's Joe's segment, Robophobia, featuring Leo Nam, who plays Johnny, at the top of the film, because he's the character that we were following through at the outpost. And we try to give, by moving that segment up top, it used to be like second to last or something. And I think by putting it up top, like the movie becomes a little bit more of a hero's journey. And I think, you know, seeing his life outside of this, you know, super sci-fi like facility where they're extracting fear and doing all this stuff, like by grounding it, you know, in this, you know, young person living a real life, like really struggling to make ends meet and care for his father and like dealing with like xenophobia and, you know, just the realities of being a person in the real world and then being transported into this more sci-fi, you know, bizarro facility, I think also just helps audiences just, again, like it's more of a hero's journey. Like we're really rooting for him because before it was sort of like, okay, we know we're following this guy, but like, what's his story? Where is he from? Like we found it out later, but we decided, even though it was obviously a big change to decide to put that up top, I do think it really helps with that connective tissue because we really follow his journey through all of this as opposed to plopping him in and then figuring out later why we've been following him the whole time. Mm-hmm. So it was certainly, you know, obviously that was a big discussion. That wasn't something that we'd planned initially, but you know, everybody ended up really rallying behind it and feeling like, you know, this is a great way to really make the audience more intimately involved in the story, I think, up top, as opposed to just plopping them in the middle of this world that like they have no context for.
Well, it connects very well. And I have to give a shout out and a golf clap to the actor who plays, was it Dr. Wright?
Ross Martin.
He wins the Over the Top Maniac Award for 2021.
Yeah, Ross killed it.
He looked like he was having way too much fun. It's like, okay, take this and ramp it up to 12 and we'll just film you.
Yes. Yes. 1,000%. Yeah, so, Ross is a trooper.
Oh my goodness, that was just hilarious. So are you working on anything else now that that you're free to talk about?
Yeah, I am. I'll just say a little bit about it. I am working on a sci-fi body horror movie, of course, with my Italophobia going back to body horror. But it's a sci-fi body horror movie called The Astronaut that follows this astronaut after her return from space and, you know, all of these things ensue. But I try to play off of a lot of the real side effects that astronauts actually deal with when they come back from space. You know, there's a lot of readjusting for the body and the senses because of anti-gravity and you know, it's very, very physical and hard on the body. So try to play into some of those tropes. And I'm really happy with the movie. Like I'm still just putting final sort of finishing touches on the story. But it's a full script. And the hope is to film it this summer. But I'm really excited about it because I feel like it's extremely universal. The lead is a you know, a female, but it's certainly a story that I have no doubt plenty of men will relate to as well. but it's really about like kind of our astronaut really finding her place and like understanding the story of her life in this sort of fun sci-fi horror way.
Awesome. Now, where can people find you online to keep track of Astronaut and anything else you start working on?
Oh, fun. I got the old Instagram. I'm too archaic for TikTok. Much respect for everybody that's like super cool doing all these super sick dances that I definitely cannot do. But I have an Instagram. Always love connecting with people. My Instagram is jess.varley. I'm turning 31 in case you can't tell. Jess.varley. It's not super spicy or creative. but yeah, please. I don't know if it's worth spelling. It's JESS.VARLEY.
Cool.
Yeah. And I love, you know, geeking out with people about all this stuff. So awesome. It's much welcomed.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, again, the movie is Phobias, out from Vertical Entertainment on March 19th. Jess, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so, so, so much, Summer. This is awesome.
And we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this. Hi, and welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me now is Chris Von Hoffman, the writer-director of one of the Phobia segments in Phobias, and his particular nightmare-inducing scenario is, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, ephibophobia?
Ephibophobia.
Awesome. And it is described as the fear of youth or teenagers. And I have so many questions. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Now, you wrote this as well as directed it. What inspired this story of fear of a maddening pack of wild teenagers?
I don't know. I've always been I like the genre. You know, I like the genre of just like young people sort of stalking older people. I think, and I like that theme too. You know, of like young against older, and I think there's an interesting theme there that I've explored in other things that are not horror. But just that theme in general. But I just love the genre. I mean, these kids aren't like children. It's not like Who Can Kill a Child or something like that. Like that movie, but I think there's something kind of like, there's something raw about the teenager angle. And also I think just like the classic sort of like 70s kind of simplicity with suspense and thriller that doesn't rely too much on a lot of splatter and a lot of guts. That was another thing that because I just made a couple movies that were like, had a lot of full on blood and splatter and violence. And I kind of wanted to, you know, take this opportunity to make something that was a little bit more restrained and more kind of tone driven.
Well, the atmospheric setup, you have a teacher alone in her home late at night. She's not sure what's going on. That classic who's at the door thriller scenario was just beautifully set up and beautifully shot. And the kids come off as extremely angry, which they are. Were you involved in casting them? Because they are all purpose-driven, but the young woman seems very intense.
Yeah, those three actors were the best ones in the room that auditioned. And it was, you know, and it was also, it worked so well that they all looked like they could be siblings. But she like really, they were all very committed. And so was Lauren, like the teacher. But Mackenzie Smith, who played Blair, she just really, because she knew that she had a responsibility because she was sort of like leading the pack and kind of like almost like driving the story in a way, or like the villainous point of view. And so she was really committed. I mean, when we shot that school photo of like all like the students in the classroom, that's when Lauren, she had met Mackenzie for the first time. That was the only time that they actually met until we started to shoot. And Mackenzie was like totally in character and like wouldn't shake her hand. And it was kind of a, it was funny, but it was also very admirable too. That was like, wow, she's really into character. She's really like committed at this early stage in the game. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Her performance really stood out to me. I was like, you know, I could watch a whole movie with her, like, you know, hunting down bad guys in the park at night. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, she has like a very sort of like, it's this kind of like sweet, endearing, but also very like kind of tomboy, kind of a, you know, really vicious edge to her. So yeah, no, she's wonderful.
Cool. So what, other than getting the right people together to form that chemistry, what did you have in mind for, I guess, blocking out the story, for filming how it progressed?
I do remember that once we found out what the schedule was, we just got like 3 nights for each segment. I did a lot of like rewriting with a lot of the moving parts in the segment, because originally the segment, the way it was written, it was a lot more, I had sort of like epicitis, and I just wanted to like do all these different stunts and all these different action things. And I was like, it's not, first of all, it's not about that. It's about like the tone and the characters themselves, and the stunts kind of are spread out, and that was the way to do it. And so I kind of rewrote, you know, and met a lot with my DP about it. And we just wanted to make sure that it was going to be an organic process, shooting it. So like that, I was really happy we did that, because it did, it was actually shockingly very, very smooth, shooting that segment. In the past, I haven't really do much rewriting. I just wanted to keep everything in there and just try my hardest to shoot all of it in a very truncated amount of time. And it's always like, you know, you feel like you're just underwater like every single second. But with this, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna really buckle down and discipline myself and just rewrite based on a schedule. And it turned out, you know, it was a much smoother shoot.
Now, I don't want to spoil too much for this, but obviously this segment is about the fear of teenagers, and we already know that teenagers are going to cause some trouble. For me, the build-up segments where she's planning her evening, the tension of her not knowing what's going on, of her trying to figure out what's happened, who's gotten into her house, the typical lone woman in a uncertain situation, that tension buildup was awesome. And then when the kids appear, there's a complete tone shift. And that pulled me out of the story for a little bit. Was that intentional to cause confusion in the viewers?
Yeah. You know, it's like, that's, I think like my favorite kind of genre is actually like a dark comedy, and like, and I just kind of and also sort of like mixing two worlds together. You know, she's like, she's coming from a much more sort of like serious kind of a dramatical, you know, sort of suspense world, and like they're coming from like where like they just don't really take any of they don't really see the gravity of any of this, and they just kind of think it's like a fun time, so they're just kind of like playing with each other and goofing around a little bit. And And also, like, just teenagers, I mean, like, they just kind of, you know, they don't really take life too seriously, especially something like this. They don't even know what they're doing right then. So, yeah, that was definitely an intention, and to, like, mix those things and see, you know, kind of walk that tightrope throughout. And so if it, you know, if it works for people, great. If it doesn't, you know, it's certainly just, you know, trying something different.
Well, with phobias, how do you plan to use what you've taken from stuff you've done before this segment and to go forward into any new projects you're working on? Because I would love to see like a full length feature from you that's a chase thriller sort of thing. Because that the way you shot that was just gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean that's my DP Nico Aguilar. He was like the definition of a director of photography. I mean, he just knew exactly how to, you know, collaborate. And they're like, I have no problem like knowing where to put the camera. I mean, I think I'm pretty good about that. But like, he's always he's really good with lighting, and also to kind of like piggyback on my suggestions about where to put the camera, and maybe he can think of a better idea and we can kind of combine them. So I think going into this, just knowing what you're getting yourself into, like schedule wise, and not being just being cautious about ambition on the page, and making sure, and sometimes being too overly ambitious might be really fun on the page, but when you're actually in the reality of it, you're kind of blowing your feet off a little bit. And so I think just being very cautious about schedule and about the realities of filming it, I think that was sort of a big kind of turning point for me, moving forward, how to approach that. But I'm not necessarily a splatter person, even though I made a couple movies that were splatter films, because like that's just what they were, and I feel like you just kind of have to go all the way with those. But I would like to continue with more like kind of darkly comedic and kind of like more thriller stuff moving forward than actual like splatter movies. So like this was kind of and more about like kind of more character driven, more psychological driven. So this was kind of a good way to kind of bridge the gap a little bit moving forward.
So you're more of a psychological horror fan than a splatter horror fan.
Yeah, I mean, I do like a lot of splatter movies, but I feel like they like I love the Friday 13th movies and like, you know, all that stuff. I mean, I'm not gonna be pretentious and say I don't, but like, you know, a random example is like a film like Enemy, the Jake Gyllenhaal movie, like that. I don't know if you ever saw that, about the doppelganger. Like that's, there's a certain kind of tone and atmosphere about that film. Like that's like, I think maybe it's just getting older. Like I think that kind of film is more something that I'm just into, like more of that psychological kind of like driving into your guts more than just kind of like throwing a bunch of severed heads at you.
I feel the same way. I've always been more attracted to the psychological horror, the chase suspense horror. Then it's like, I don't want to see a movie where the point of the movie is to find out how many gallons of blood you can splash on the wall. That's not an enjoyable plot, right?
No, it just kind of takes me out. I mean, look, I love like Evil Dead 2, and I love them as like romps, and I really enjoy them. But I think the movie kind of becomes about, yeah, like how much blood you're splattering on the wall, and like how that's what people remember them. You know, mm-hmm. If you take all that stuff out, are you still gonna have a good movie? I don't know. You know, so you know, it's about the characters first.
How about special effects? What types are you a fan of employing in what you film?
I mean, definitely like, you know, I think practical effects. I mean, if you can find a way to like combine practical effects or like you know, CGI, like it's like sometimes practical looks too fake, CGI looks too fake, but if you could combine both of them, like that's probably the most ideal. Probably the best example of that is like the Hills Have Eyes remake, where like Tom Bauer like blows his head off in the stall. If you haven't seen it, I hope I didn't just spoil it. but like that's like a great example of like practical and CGI combining to make such a realistic looking thing. I like, you know, a lot of off camera violence, you know, like just hearing something, just that's like what I find the most frightening, actually. And that sounds like a cop out, but it's really, if it's done well, it's really actually quite frightening.
Yeah, no, music and properly applied sound effects are part of the design of influencing the emotions of people watching horror movies. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Exactly. 100%.
Now, as a writer and director, do you find it easier or harder to direct something that you've written? I mean, does it distract you that's like, okay, I wrote this, I should fix this before I film this?
No, I mean, I'd probably, like, if I had a gun in my head, I'd probably prefer, like, directing stuff that I've written. I think I've definitely, in the last year, like, during, like, the whole initial pandemic, like, I think we're going on the one-year anniversary of it yesterday or today or something, I read, but yeah, like, during all, like, 2020, I was just, like, pounding pages and just writing, like, script after script after script, so I think I really, like, found my footing as a writer, specifically in the last like year or so, because you know I sort of started out writing, but then I sort of drifted off into like being more obsessed with style and aesthetic, and but I think in the last year or so I've been like you know more taking screenwriting way more seriously, and just wanting to make sure something is as strong as possible on the page before any cameras roll. So I did develop a couple movies that I didn't write. They didn't end up getting made, but I did work with writers. I mean, there's something that sort of is still in the cards. And it's funny you say, like, you know, doing like one long sort of like chase thing, because like the script is literally like a 90-minute car. I call it like a vehicular slasher. It's like one long car chase structured like a slasher movie. And you know that's a little splattery, I will admit, but like it's just such a fun script. But it's just so like the characters and the humor is great. And but like that's something that like myself and the writer just totally clicked, because it felt like something I would have written myself. So but yeah, no, I do like writing though. I like developing stories from the ground up.
Cool. Are you working on anything now that you can share?
Yeah, well, there's a feature that we're deep into right now that we're hoping to shoot in the fall. It's kind of like it's definitely like a creative step forwards. I'd say it's a very different, but also slightly similar to things in the past. It's like an erotic, psychological, dramatic horror film, kind of like Angel Heart a little bit with Mickey Rourke, with a little bit more humor in it. But I think like the humor, like, totally lines up with the story. It's sort of like kind of right out the gate. It's kind of like parallel with the more serious stuff. I think that script kind of balances that tightrope pretty well. But it's all, you know, it's like a play on film. It's kind of like mostly a two-hander between an older woman and a younger man.
Cool. Well, we'll keep an eye out for that. Is there any place online or on social media where folks can keep track of what you're working on?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Instagram and I'm on Facebook. I'm probably more on Instagram than Facebook, but I'm on both of them. You can just look at my name, Chris Von Hoffman, and also my website, chrisvonhoffman.com. Two N's at the end of Hoffman, because sometimes people take out just one N. But if you look up chrisvonhoffman.com, sort of everything's on there.
Awesome. We'll have links to those. And the phobias segment you filmed, like I said, it's gorgeous and it's completely compelling and a little bit confusing, but entertaining all the same.
Yeah.
The movie is Phobias from Vertical Entertainment. Should be in theaters on demand and on digital, available at your very fingertips. Chris, thank you so much for sharing your insights on your film segment and your view on horror, which I love to talk to people about.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a great genre, and it's never going to go away. So,
not if people keep treating people like people.
Well said.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered. In every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families, to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up,
because it's story time.
This is Kevin Murphy from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Rift Tracks, and you have bitten off a nice big chunk of Slice of Sci-Fi.
And once again, the movie is Phobias. Fear is a weapon you can control, is the tagline, which connects to the through line, the Outpost 37 through stories. But the five different phobias they talk about, with each patient at the outpost is the one who they are extracting fear from. There's robophobia, which is the fear of robots, mechanical objects, and artificial intelligence. Vehophobia, which is the fear of driving. Ephebiphobia, which is the fear of youngsters or teenagers. Hoplophobia, which is the morbid fear of guns and firearms. And as we discussed before, atelophobia, the fear of not doing something right, the fear of not being good enough, or basically the fear of imperfection. That movie will be available March 19th on demand and digital, and I think in some theaters as well. The Outpost 37 stuff is really creepy. The cut-ins and cutouts from each section are interesting. You get a little bit of background on each patient and how they got there, and then you jump into what got them there. It's a little uneven in a couple of spots, but Jess's segment on atelophobia and Macy Gray's performance is unsettling. Very, very unsettling. So give that one, check that one out when it becomes available. But let me know, do you enjoy anthology films? Do you enjoy anthology limited television series? Let me know. Shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com, or chat me up on Twitter @sliceofscifi, and also come by the website sliceofscifi.com. Leave a comment on this episode or any of the other episodes we have talked to filmmakers and other creatives about. Get a conversation started, because that's what we geeks do. We just love to talk and talk and talk about the stuff we enjoy. That's what we do, right? You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio Podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please leave a review. Let other people know you are enjoying Slice of Sci-Fi, and they may enjoy it themselves, so they should check it out. And of course, there's the website, sliceofscifi.com, where all of the fun coalesces. It oozes out into the ether from that one point. I'd like to thank everyone who is helping to support the shows and websites in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe. Your help, your support does keep all the lights on around here. So again, my heartfelt thanks to you. If you want to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. If you add yourself to one of the patron tiers, you will be eligible for perks. Every month I pull an email out of the hat, and that person gets to choose from a book, a DVD, a Blu-ray, a 4K. The materials I am sent to review, I can't keep them all. I'm running out of space. So you, my supporters, my listeners, get first dibs on the goodies. If you want to help out, but a monthly pledge is not quite your style, the link to use is paypal.me/scifisummer. And again, thank you all who are helping to support efforts here. And that will do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.